Welcome back to the Mom Mentality Show, and I'm Austin, and this is Chris. And we're getting started here to round out our series on the mom programming roles. And so we got the Kanban board back here. And so the next thing is Chris's favorite, I believe, the automationist. So this might be a test for the viewers. Is this really Chris Lucian or just a robot? Because he loves automation so much that he automated himself for this video cast. So,
yeah, it's kind of hard to tell whether or not I'm a robot from time to time. I think that the reason that this one's one of my favorite is because this is kind of the birth of the mob timer. When we first started mobbing, there was no such thing as the mob timer software, and we had to rotate based off of a iPhone kind of jingle on Woody's phone. And so, first we said, okay, we're going to rotate every 5 minutes and we're going to have that jingle go off and then we're all going to get up and rotate. And what would end up happening more often than not is one developer would then get kind of into a groove and of typing, and the other one would just keep navigating, or even they would just, keep finishing out the last thing that was navigated, and then 20 minutes would go by and this jingle would still be playing in the background and everybody's like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, we should have rotated, half an hour ago. And so then we retrospected about that and it was kind of a problem. And so then Woody comes back with a kitchen timer, and the kitchen timer was like super loud and ear piercing and everybody remembered to switch. And then I was getting coffee one day across the other side of the office, and it was like an office of 30 people, and I was super far away, but everybody else is in cubes, and this person in their cube was muttering to themselves, what the expletive is that off in the distance. And so I was like, okay, well, we can't really be disturbing everyone. And so, gradually over time, we just kept mobbing the way we normally do, but I kind of started a little side project, and while in the mob, and I was just automating that process of rotating a keyboard, and I made a little MVP software, and just had some of the mobbers install it on the main mobbing station, and then we started doing that, and it blocks out the screen, it doesn't make any sound, and all the benefits that you get from the present day mob timer. And so that was kind of an example of saying, okay, well, let's automate out a problem. And this role exists for any level of automation. So this might be a template or a code snippet that you might use in the case where you're writing the same boilerplate code over and over again. Or if you're writing a lot of boilerplate code, make it so you don't have to write that boilerplate code with a new abstraction. And that goes all the way to maybe automating the way that you communicate with your group and things along those lines. And so it's any level of automation within the team. If you notice the repetitive task, then figure out how to automate that repetitive task. Yeah. And when you do that, so another one is that kind of came up for me was the request for historic Gantt charts, for our work. And so rather than making a Gantt chart every time based on things that we got done, I basically wrote a script that went into our Git repository and pulled out all of our scenario descriptions for our Gherkin in our end-to-end tests. And then I'd take the scenario description and then take the duration from when it was committed to when it didn't exist in the code base. And then I basically said that that's the time that it took to put that in there, and then made a historic Gantt chart, and it completely automated and it refreshed every day. And so this is, every little thing that is kind of a pain point or just something that you have to do every day. This might be filtering out your emails with email rules so that you don't look at the same stuff all the time.
Yeah.
It's the act of paying attention to the repetitive things that are just needling, the death by 1,000 cuts, right?
Yes.
that's what this role is about to me, and that's why I'm very passionate about it. I feel like I can be more, I can do more with the more that I automate in my everyday.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I just keep envisioning, if you never came up with a mob timer, what would the a building of 8 mobs look like? You just have the kitchen timer going off like every 30 seconds.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awful.
So what comes to mind for me are a couple stories, and one is software software-specific example, and one is a non-software-specific example. So software-specific example, very similar to the one Chris told, was I was on a mob, and over the course of working on several features, we would end up writing, it didn't feel like boilerplate code at the moment, it didn't even occur to me it was boilerplate code, but someone went off on their own laptop for a while, and then he came back to us and he said, you know, I've been working on this, generator, and we're like, oh, okay, and let's try it out. And so we would kind of put in the specs almost in like business language, and then it spit out a bunch of this boilerplate code that we kept rewriting over and over again. And it was kind of really techie code. It was like really like splitting bytes and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so it was really nice to not have to think about that anymore and just, like you said, raise the level of abstraction. And another example is some of our viewers aren't necessarily software programmers. And I think the automationist role even applies to that, because I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. He's a engineering manager for like mechanical engineers, and he's like, yeah, every day I open up the same report and I have to click through these same 10 clicks and then filter these same things, and he said, so what I did is I wrote this macro, and it just all I do is I click a button and it does all that and prints it out, and I take it and then I go walk around with it, and I'm like, you don't know it, but you just put on the automationist mob programming hat, you know, in a sense, you know. And so even if, you know, I hope you're mob programmer, but even if you're not, there are ways to put on this hat and really help out any team you're working on, you know. And so,
yeah, and that's like a big thing is like whenever you're asked for a status or whenever you're, you know, anything repetitive in your day, in your week, whatever, think about what are the ways that you can automate out a lot of what you do. And so if you always have that hat kind of in the back of your mind, you'll definitely end up just becoming more and more capable over time.
Right. And I think one last thing to add is some people complain or object that, hey, why would you mob program a really simple, obvious task? And I think the reason is if usually mobs will have an automationist and they'll take that simple task and automate it so you don't have to do it anymore, you know? And so,
but that's why, so, you know, there's this concept of mobbing and then there's a concept of swarming, right? And the swarming idea is that people get together to work on the hard stuff and then they split apart to work on the easy stuff.
Yes.
And it's like, why do you still have easy stuff if you have a mob? And so there's a big piece of that automationist that says, like, anything that you're, you know, if swarming makes more sense to you, then think about why.
Yeah.
Right. And so what about those other tasks don't feel like they could be mobbed? And I would venture to posit that you could take those tasks and write generators for them or something along those lines, raise the level of abstraction somehow, you know, create a configuration of JSON and then have that get read into the objects that you wanted to produce anyway manually. Write T4 templates or XSLT scripts to then generate things that come out. And so, you know, it's to me the idea that there's something simple enough that it shouldn't be mobbed, but shouldn't be automated either, doesn't make sense. And so, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. I, you know, might be a little bit inflammatory. I'm sorry, you know, if you want to, you know, please leave some comments, and I'd love to have a conversation about that for sure.
Well, let's just take it to the next level and talk about no estimates. Yeah, and really get inflammatory. No. We won't do that in this episode.
So, another time.
So is that good for the automation?
Yeah,
you think
so. My passion has been expelled. So. All right, what do we got next?
Archivist.
All right, so what does this one mean to you?
I'm a little confused, actually. Maybe you should help me out. I think we just talked about it, but I already lost, so I think you'll need to kick this off, because we've talked about the anthropologist, which has kind of this element of studying the mob and understanding its ways and seeing the good stuff and sharing that with others. Kind of like the mob programming RPG. We have the traffic cop, which kind of has its eye on the Kanban board and the working agreements. And so, I think it's coming back to me now. Yeah, so I think I will pick this up.
Right.
So the archivist does the job of helping to visualize the problem. So whatever the team is working on. And its communication in English is really tough. And that's why why the Agile Manifesto says in one of its principles that face-to-face communication is the most effective, especially if you add a whiteboard to that. Because I don't know if you're like me, where you've been on the phone recently with a stakeholder or another developer, and you're trying to talk code, and it's really hard to do. Even if you're sharing screens, it can be really hard to do unless you have something that's easy to draw or whatever. And so what the archivist does is help, you know, visualize the problem, right? So start drawing circles on the board, like, okay, this is this actor user, and this is our system, and then here's this part of our system. Are we saying the user's going to do this, and our system's going to do this, you know, and help visualize the problem. And what I've found is whenever someone takes on that role, it helps so much, because so often when you're just speaking at it with English, some people might be following, but most of the time, not everyone is following. And so that what that means is someone's not understanding enough to contribute or correct something that's wrong. And so every time we start visualizing and drawing, and we even did this with you in a conversation the other day, everyone's understanding grew, you know, exponentially right then. And so then we can say, yes, this is what we're saying, or no, this is not what we're saying we're going to do.
Absolutely. And, so, I think a big thing here is that a lot of people will come to me and say, hey, I really don't feel like I can communicate well with my mob. And I'm, the first thing I go to is, well, have you tried drawing your understanding of it? And this can be in many areas. We just had a team that had every member of the team draw the architecture of the software that they're working on and then post it all to our internal Slack-like system. And then that gets immortalized in some space. And so UML diagramming, architecture diagramming. Another one that I see a lot of is circular conversations. Like, oh, I want to go in this direction. Well, no, but what about this? Oh, no, I want to go in this direction. No, well, what about this? Really great ways to get out of that.
Yeah.
That loop is decision mapping. And so if you do a decision map, you might say, okay, what's the initial question? You know, should you do this option, or this option? Here are the benefits, here are the negatives. And then this way, when you put it up on a whiteboard, all of a sudden, no one can go in circles anymore. It's amazing how quickly you can break out of that loop. And it's just because somebody didn't take the time to draw out what was being said. And so the buffer that of information that people had was not sufficient to keep the entirety of the conversation in context. And the ability to do this actually helps out. So this is somebody that would, you know, pull up a whiteboard, start whiteboarding the solution that's being described. This might be somebody that whiteboards an idea that they have to be navigated and used it to navigate the navigator. So the rear admiral role can be aided tremendously in this, is just draw out the idea and then have the navigator navigate it. This could be getting a shared understanding of the internal architecture or why a problem occurred. This is just fundamentally super important.
Yeah, and I've never heard that term before, the circular conversation.
Yeah.
But me and another mobber were in the middle of a circular conversation just the other day.
Yeah.
And he did this to me. Like, we were going back and forth, and I was like, option A is the way to go. We were having this circular conversation. And then he's like, okay, let's, and he did that decision tree. A is we're going to do this. B is we're going to do this. And he asked me, he didn't even give his opinion. What are the pros and cons of each?
Yeah.
And after we looked at him, like, option A makes no sense. You're right. We should do B. I was totally wrong, you know? And then I've also seen this be really helpful, especially for teams where they feel like there's maybe a knowledge silo, like someone knows the system really well, or a bunch of other mobbers or team members don't.
Yeah.
Because bugs happen. You can check out Arlo Belshi's No Bugs videos. Maybe we'll put a link in the show notes. But he talks about bugs happen a lot for a lack of understanding, right?
Yeah.
Someone went in with the best of intention. They may have done it cleanly for everything they know.
They unit tested in the bug, right?
Yeah, they unit tested in the bug, you know, but they just didn't understand something, right? Mm-hmm. Either about the domain or about the architecture, the way the system's set up. So a habit a team I've been on has gotten into is before we do any fairly large scope of work, we whiteboard it with whatever the guru of the team is, right? Yeah. And it doesn't take a whole lot of time. It may take 5 minutes at most, maybe a half an hour, an hour. But then you're like, well, then this microservice is going to talk to this, and then this is going to go in the database, and you draw it out until everyone's on the same page. And then you go into it with way more confidence of what you're about to do. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And anything else come to mind for the archivist?
I think that's good for now. I think we can wrap up the series and move on to the next thing. That'd be good. But
Yeah, and on that, so we're wrapping up the, this is the last episode on the series of mob programming roles. So we'll be jumping to new topics. So we love your feedback on how this series went, what things were helpful, what things weren't so helpful, things we can improve. And then also, we'd love your ideas on future episodes, things to talk about. So
Yeah. Pepper us with questions. We'd love it.
Yes. Yeah, interact with us on Twitter and YouTube. And have a good one.
All right. See y'all later.